Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our earnings conference call for the third quarter of 2021. I'm Fabio Bortolotti, IR Officer at Infracommerce. The results we announced this morning, the audio of this call, and the slides that we'll reference are available on our RI website. Joining me today are Kai Schoppen, our founder and CEO, and Rafael Quintas, our CFO. After the presentation, we'll be here for the Q&A session. In case any of the participants would like to pose a question, please use the chat box on our webcast platform. Before I turn the floor over to Kai, I'd like to caution you regarding our forward-looking statements. Any matters discussed today that are not historical facts, particularly comments regarding the company's future plans, objectives, and expected performance, constitute forward-looking statements. These statements are based on a range of assumptions that the company believes are reasonable but are subject to uncertainties and risks that are discussed in detail in our CVM filings. Also, forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks as they depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors can also affect the future results of the company and lead to results that differ materially from such forward-looking statements. During the course of the call, we'll discuss non-IFRS performance measures, which should not be considered in isolation. For a reconciliation of non-IFRS performance measures, look at the tables in our earnings results. Now I turn the call over to Kai. Kai? Thank you, Fabio. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us in our conference call today. We're very happy to share the third quarter 2021 results. I am very excited with the results of the quarter as well as with the prospects for 2022. This quarter, we almost completed the delivery of the plan that we presented in our IPO through M&As, investments in the modularization of the offer, and expansion of our sales machine, going beyond the diversification of the revenue with a significant increase in the number of customers and internationalization of operations. I would like to start by thanking our team of Infras for their dedication. They were able to deliver in this truly transformative year, and they always seek to overcome our expectations while at the same time they keep a great focus on innovation. This is our way, and I'm very proud of what we're building together. As you can see on slide number four, I would like to talk about the amazing brands that we have achieved on the commercial side. We have had a new record of customers. We are now 433 customers in our ecosystem. We acquired 43 new customers in the third quarter. In addition to that, there has been a 63% increase in leads received quarter on quarter, which gives us great expectations for the year of 2022. In the third quarter, our churn was virtually zero. We only lost one customer from the base. InfraPay B2B, our fintech, is still very attractive. And although we were still in an incipient phase, we were able to acquire 11 customers on and off platform without the cross-sell of the platform or the B2B marketplaces where we operate. We also advanced in the modularization of our offer, increasing the flexibility of our business model even further. Now we can enable customers to purchase platform and payments with Infracommerce without having to go for the full commerce. Among the customer highlights, we have the expansion of new services in existing significant customers like Nespresso, InBev, and Nike, in addition to the opening of new relevant customers like AgroGalaxy, H&M, Petland, and Shell. As you can see on slide number five of our presentation, our GMV added up to 1.7 billion BRL this quarter, up 43% year-over-year. We have achieved a record net revenue of 105 million BRL, 70% higher than the third quarter of 2020. Another good news about the top line is the 18% increase in our average take rate, both due to the mix of channels and also the cross-selling of modular solutions that we were able to achieve. Our TPV more than doubled, boosted by the launch of our FIDC and the fintech solution, totaling 276 million BRL in the quarter. We also closed the quarter with 2,445 employees, almost 500 of them in the technology area. With the completion of the acquisition of Cnepcom, the total number will go up to about 4,000 employees. On slide number six, you can see some of our operational highlights for the third quarter. We have delivered 23 million products, an 88% increase, and yet another historical record for the company. Of those, 61% of the orders were delivered in up to 48 hours. In some cases, the deliveries are made within 2 hours. Our mission of creating disruptive value with our customers is to get to 80% of the orders delivered within 48 hours. These indicators have been improving month after month as we follow our promise in delivering the best white label customer experience in Brazil and Latin America. We closed the quarter with 11 distribution centers and 10 dark stores. Only the largest marketplaces of Brazil get close to such a robust logistic grid. Now, a point that I'd like to highlight is the traction for customers to consume our network of dark stores. Here at the bottom, you can see an example of a customer that shows the potential of the solution. Consumers have shown more and more interest in the ultra-fast delivery within 2 hours. In this specific case, in some of the regions, we were already able to achieve 56% of the orders delivered through our dark store in a fast-track delivery, and the NPS is the largest one in all of the omni-channels of the customers. Now moving on to slide number seven. As a technology company that offers our own platform in addition to many other systems that make up this e-commerce operations, we need to constantly evolve and add new functionalities. This quarter, we would like to highlight the go live of the Omni Payments technology that solves a recurring problem that we saw in our customers, like the split of payments. For example, if a customer makes an order half via e-commerce and half via brick-and-mortar store, 100% of the payment can be made in the physical store. We have launched B2B platforms for the agribusiness, pet, and medical care sectors with an addressable market, a TAM, that should increase even more the GMV that runs in our technology. As we said when we acquired Suma Solutions, we are evolving with the first cases of our own B2B platform abroad. On the next slide, you can see our commercial and operational performance allied to the M&As that have already been performed. This puts Infracommerce at a completely new level compared to the company we had a year ago. Now, we'll give you further guidance later on in this presentation, but we estimate that after the closing of SynapCom with a revenue of 950 million BRL by 2022, so four times higher than the revenue we achieved in 2020. This will put us in the spotlight in the scenario of the Brazilian e-commerce and in Latin America, which will enable us to invest in technology and service level, keeping our value proposition towards our customers that want to boost their own digital strategy through our ecosystem. In addition to that, the merger of the companies will enable us to have one of the most experienced teams in the market, both for B2B and B2C, a significant reduction of operational costs that will be released after the closing, and that puts us in a good position to advance in our master plan of digitalizing the supply chain in Latin America. Now, I'd like to turn the floor over to Rafael Quintas, our CFO, which will give you further details about the financial performance we achieved in the third quarter of 2021.
Thank you, Caio. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Caio. Now, on slide 10, we can see the performance of the second quarter, which is a reflection of the significant expansion of our customer base, the cross-selling initiatives, and the very well-controlled churn, as Caio said. We have achieved a GMV of 1.7 billion BRL, up 43% year-over-year. Now, about our net revenue, our growth was even greater, around 70%. That is a result not only of the GMV expansion, as we mentioned, but also a growth in our take rate compared to last year. We have achieved a record level of 105 million BRL of revenue in the third quarter, and the M&As that were completed during the quarter had only a partial contribution since they joined the group throughout the quarter, and they do not include the acquisition of SynapCom. At the end of the third quarter of 2021, we had a gross profit of 52 million BRL and gross margins of 50%, the better of the year and still above last year's rates. Adjusting for non-recurring events, our EBITDA this quarter was 4.4 million BRL, similar to last year's, even with the growth of the corporate structure that we did during and after the IPO and the strong investments we made during the quarter in expanding our logistic grid and our fintech that should give us better results in the coming months. On slide 11, this quarter, our CapEx was 23.9 million BRL, specially allocated into technology projects aiming to develop our omni-channel platform more and more and expanding our logistic grid, as I said previously. This investment represented a growth of 105%, so more than double the previous year, boosted by the factors I have already mentioned, especially the investments in technology for our platform. It's important to note that our strategy of being closer to our customers contributes to the reduction of the delivery dates and a significant increase in the sales conversion rates of our customers. On slide 12, you can see a fundamental lever of our business, fintech Infrapay. With this trade finance solution, we can expand payment terms to small retailers, boosting sales to distributors who are sellers of our platform. Due to the differential of use of artificial intelligence based on transactional and financial data, we have been able to be very assertive in our credit analysis, so our default rates are very low. As a result, we have been really proud to have a rating classification of our FIDC of AA rating, which shows the quality of our processes. Now, as to cash on slide 13, you can see the part of the IPO proceeds were used to pay for M&As and debt amortization for the company, as we said during the IPO. We closed our cash with almost 600 million BRL. This cash does not include the debenture issuance that we're doing right now, which has been recently approved by the board of directors of our company of approximately 250 million BRL to take place in the fourth quarter and a five-year term and two-year grace period. We have reduced our debt level from 71.9 million in December 2020 to 17.9 million BRL in June 2021. Actually, in September 2021. I apologize for that. Now I turn the floor over to Fabio Bortolotti, who will give you further details about our guidance projections for 2021 and 2022.
Thank you, Rafael. Now moving on to slide 15. As Kai said, we're giving you guidance for the end of the year in 2022 because of all of the changes we had in the company in recent months after the IPO. Here you can see consolidated projections of Infracommerce considering organic growth and the M&As that were already announced. There are no additional M&As. The GMV of the company is probably going to achieve 7.2 billion in 2021 and 13 billion by the end of 2022, so an 80% growth and a compound annual growth rate that is quite consistent. Our B2B unit is also growing consistently once again, achieving 6.3 billion in 2022, and part of this growth is part of the ramp-up of projects already contracted in 2021. The B2C unit will achieve around 5.5 billion BRL, boosted by the modularization of the offers and the consolidation of the M&As that were completed. Now let us give you the numbers of Latin America, ex-Brazil, which also gives us the possibility of achieving accelerated growth pace, which will also be an important expansion driver for the company in the short and medium terms. Now on slide 16, you can see our prospects in terms of net revenue. Our growth in 2021 should be around 74%, but that can vary slightly due to the timing of the Sinapcom consolidation. With the effect of the M&As and organic growth of around 60%, we'll achieve a level close to 1 billion BRL in revenue. Since 2019, a pre-pandemic level, that would be an annual compound growth rate of 90%. That level puts us among the main e-commerce and technology players in Brazil and gives us the possibility of continue with our innovation and efficiency. The B2B unit in Brazil keeps our average organic growth of around 60%, while the B2C Brazil expands boosted by new customers and M&A movements, achieving total revenue of 643 million BRL. The LatAm unit also has a relevant growth in revenue, achieving 133 million BRL, which is strategically relevant in terms of diversification of geographical and exchange rate risk and also the high growth expected for the coming years. Now on slide 17, this growth in revenue that I just mentioned will enable us to dilute the fixed cost and especially G&A, which is the main EBITDA margin expansion lever for the short and medium terms. We also expect to reduce our variable costs through renegotiations with suppliers due to the exponential increase in our volume. After the closing with Sinapcom, we'll have a better vision of the potential synergies, and integration costs are being calculated by a specialized consultancy firm that will also help us to make the most of the synergies. By the end of next year, we're gonna have a run rate of EBITDA margin close to the level expected for the companies in the industry, which will reflect on net income and cash generation. On slide 18, you have a summary of the main take-home messages that we conveyed to you today. I just want to highlight the opportunities to grow our ecosystem, especially in B2B. We said the fintech is a great lever for margin expansion, as well as B2C, Brazil, and in other countries of Latin America. With that, we would like now to open for questions. I'll start by reading the first question. Hello, thank you for your call. Congratulations on your results. Can you give us further details about the cross-selling in your customer base and your InfraPay performance? How has this been going? And now about cross-selling and fulfillment. Can you give us a bit more detail about that? And now the partnership with Abadi. Can you tell us about the development in this marketplace? Thank you for your question. Well, in cross-selling, we have B2C and B2B initiatives. In B2C, a typical cross-sell would be our POS solution and / omni-channel solution. As a comment, we don't only offer technology, but also intelligence of supply and payment. So it's the whole technology of brick and mortar stores integrated with the e-commerce. We have this payment solution and BI that helps the brand to decide where the product should go when it comes to brick and mortar stores and logistics center. So that's something we add to a traditional B2C solution. Now, we also have brands that start with the logistics center within the complete solution with one and two, and then we can open yet another distribution center, and so they can enable the ultra-fast delivery in some defined cities in Brazil. Now, we're also using our fintech. 50% of the B2B e-commerce solutions and marketplace solutions that are launched already have this trade finance solution, and others use our fintech at first. So we expect gains in 100% of the cases next year. We want that 100% of them will use our fintech. Just to give you three examples, there are many others, but these are the three most obvious ones. About the Abad project, we are on course within the expected timeline. The deadlines were short, but yes, we are on track. There will be a conference held by Abad in the coming weeks, and the solution will be presented there in their conference. So everything within expected when it comes to that, the project is advancing quite well. The GMV and the billing of this project is not immediate. It will take a few months, but yes, the launch is within the expected timeline. As a reminder, you can send your questions through our webcast platform, and we can read them out loud to the speakers. Okay, we have another question. The question is, will you be able to complete the acquisition of Sinapco before the Black Friday, which is on November 26th? And can you think about acquisitions to complement the ecosystem in 2022? Well, we have a meeting scheduled for exactly the Black Friday day. So we expect Sinapco to be included and completed by December. About other acquisitions, yes, most definitely. We're still watching out for opportunities after this integration. Of course, right now we're going to focus on integration, the integration with Tacticus is very well advanced. We were able to streamline the integration process that will start on December the 1st, and the other acquisitions are already in our pipeline. And any additional acquisition would be added to those that we have already disclosed here. Okay, we got another question from Guilherme. My question is about the guidance. When we compare infra with other companies, we see a contraction in your numbers. Can you comment on that? Well, there are a few factors that can influence this. We did the due diligence for Synapcon acquisition within InfraCommerce's standards. And we believe that there might be some synergies at first with regards to some severance, pay costs, and others. So we're usually conservative when it comes to the estimates and also when it comes to the synergies to be captured. So with that in mind, we think that the numbers are quite appropriate. As I said during my part of the presentation, we are more worried about the run rate of the EBITDA margins for the second half of the year. That will give us a better vision of the full quotation of the combined companies, which will probably have an EBITDA margin way above those 10% that we projected. Now, during our IPO roadshow, I said that as a company, I believed we were doing a spectacular job keeping good EBITDA levels, even though we had our own platform. Other players that have their own platforms all around the world don't have such a good EBITDA. And at the same time, we're launching a fintech, opening logistics centers, expanding to other countries in Latin America, and all of that is happening. And even so, we have been able to achieve positive EBITDA margins. I always said that we would be careful with the EBITDA. But we are not maximizing cash flow and EBITDA right now. We are focusing on growth, and that's going to be kept next year and on growth. And only after that, we're going to focus on profitability KPIs. But when it comes to e-commerce and digitalization players in the market, they're not doing that. So when it comes to initiatives, if you look at our EBITDA numbers, you'll see that we're on the right track. Okay, let's just wait another couple of minutes to see if any other questions are sent in. Well, as you know, we're always available to all of you. If you want to follow up on any of the numbers and ideas that we released today, so get in touch if you need anything, any type of support. Thank you so much for joining us in our call today. We continue committed to our strategy. Oh, sorry, we got a question here. I think maybe we should answer it since we have some time left. The question is if there is any dilution in revenue compared to last year, like we saw Nike canceling some contracts and Mercado Livre more recently. It's not about customers canceling contracts. Our churn was virtually zero. In the second quarter, our churn was zero. So these questions always arise. And I would like to tell you to look at the KPIs to see
if this is true or not. If it were true, then the churn would be higher. We're growing in terms of number of customers and also in other not as large customers. And in the second quarter, we said that Nike continued with our distribution center. We closed the full commerce operations with Nike and Chile, and it's alive and kicking, already working in place. So not only we did not lose the Nike contract, but we're also expanding our contract with them. In the short term, that is very positive. Now, the question about Mercado Livre. As I said in the roadshow, medium-sized and large-sized companies, brands that are customers, they already know what happened in the U.S. and China with Alibaba and Amazon that have this full commerce operation and then launch their own brands. And infra-commerce that has this position of independence becomes a player and is able to offer a technology, data intelligence, and a logistics grid that is comparable to that of a major marketplace, but it would be also an independent ally without having to convert products like Amazon does with their base. So I think that our target audience is aware of this independent positioning that InfraCommerce has, which is really good for us and actually strengthens us in the market. As a reminder, part of our strategy is not our own website. We are the ones who get in touch with the marketplace that reflects in businesses for us, for customers that want to have a hybrid solution with their own website and the use of our marketplace. Now, how long to complete the transaction of the Sinepco acquisition? We believe that we will be able to capture synergies in the next 2 to 3 months. Of course, when it comes to winning contracts, the effects are seen almost immediately, but we have things related to migration of systems. This is going to be a robust work that might take some time. Now, we had a question here about customer overlapping. There's no customer overlapping. Only if we have a customer that does B2C with us and B2B with someone else, but it's virtually non-existent. The overlapping is quite small. Now we have a question about the B2B growth strategy for 2022. What can we expect in terms of market share gain, also to boost the B2B growth? As you can see in the guidance that we included in our call, the B2B is accelerating more. And at the end of the day, this is already great news on its own. Yes, because of the relevance that we gained in B2C, we have the opportunity of doing cross-selling in B2B within the two business models, sales for individuals and also supply to small markets, restaurants, and fashion stores, for example. These are different modalities, and in theory, many of our customers need both modalities. So yes, we've been very conservative in the B2B, B2C cross-selling because we
realized that customers want 1 to 2 years to have maturity either in B2B or B2C before they focus on both of them at the same time. And we didn't say much about this in our 2022 guidance because we expect that to happen more in 2023. Maybe we're being conservative, but we're really considering an expansion within the B2B vertical and B2C vertical without relying on this cross-sell. That will clearly happen, but we want to be conservative here when it comes to the prospects for next year. Let's wait a couple of more minutes to see if there are any questions being sent via webcast. So Guilherme, once again, you talked about new segments, the pet segment, as well as medical and agribusiness. Can you tell us about customer conversion in those segments? Excellent question. One thing we did with the IPO proceeds was a modularization of our sales force. So we're now putting together a sales force for pet, for medical, for pharma, for agribusiness, so that we have a greater focus in our sales machine in lead generation. And the initial results are quite good, with great acceleration of the leads, the great work of our sales team. So this is working really well. But our B2B2C or B2B2B sales are not, you know, quick processes. They usually take 2 to 3 months and then another 2 months for implementation. So these are actions we're taking today to accelerate the processes next year. But Synapcom is certified to sell drugs as well. This is a recent development they made. So this opens up the pharma market for us, which is quite interesting. And the pet market, we have a new customer in that area with a large market in Brazil. You all know about how Cobasi has been very successful in the financial market. So we think this is a good bet. And agribusiness, I don't even have to mention, right? Monsanto has a small project with us. So our initial base is quite good for us to grow in this huge market. So considering all of the complexity, we've been segmenting our sales team and our key account teams per segment so that they can focus a bit more. And once again, it's been working really well. Okay, thank you all for your excellent questions and for joining us for our call today. If you have any questions, just get in touch with us. We're always available. As we said in our presentation, we're very excited and very happy about our results and about the level that our company has achieved. So we decided to talk a bit about the future because the company in 2022 will be completely different from what we see now in this quarter in terms of size and potential. So if you want to better understand any of these projections, just get in touch. We're always available. Have a great day. Take care, everyone.